We're always on. Dion feels we're always on the brink of too much Trump, but that's why he's being successful, right? He makes a new story every day.
Exactly.
I honestly feel, I was telling somebody at the bar this, and I'll say it before the podcast in case we don't want to talk about it during it. But
no,
I was
we'll talk about it.
Okay. I was like, he kind of reminds me of JFK. In JFK versus Nixon, where like JFK got TV was the future.
Yeah.
And like Trump like gets that it's all just about these news medias now. Like, they don't want to keep re-reporting the same thing. They want a new story every day.
That's true.
So I'm just going to say the most absurd thing I can every day, and it's going to lead the news cycle.
Yep. Well, we'll get into the fact that he's said he doesn't want to participate in the debate.
Fox debate.
We'll talk about Bloomberg, and, you know, we'll have a little bit.
That Palin, I don't think we talked about the Palin endorsement last week, which was hilarious.
We'll get into all that.
She could be having a stroke on stage, and you would not know. I mean, like, it's so nonsensical.
I think that's why the Tina Fey SNL skit was
so funny.
So watched by everybody and shared. It was just so dead on.
It's so hard to impersonate her, too, because it's like your mind tries to put more order on the sentences.
Right.
It's really hard to speak that way, you know?
It was very...
If you're used to speaking...
Well, somebody said that was written down. That there was... Like, she was reading. Now, tell me... She had notes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She wasn't reading.
Yeah, I don't think that was verbatim. I mean, I don't think like you put all of that like verbatim.
What are you guys talking about?
Palin.
Just Palin and
Sarah Palin's her written
endorsement.
Did you guys finish the whole Trump not showing up for the debate?
No,
we haven't
started. Okay,
so,
all right.
So we should probably just... We are the Worldwide IT Guys. I'm Steve.
Dion.
John.
Sean.
And this is podcast number 20. We're still apparently settling in. I may have jumped the gun, but it's okay. We talked a little political structure and what's going on in the U.S. Presidential election, as we tend to get into that. But this is not about that. This podcast, we've decided this podcast is, now that it's Super Bowl time, we're going to be all Super Bowl all the time.
Sure.
So this, I think, is Peyton Manning cast? Is that what this is now?
Well, I'm somebody who can always talk about the Super Bowl. Like, I love... No, because I consider the NFL, like, the biggest group of liars on the planet, you know? And one of the things that's always interesting is, like...
Sean, this is serious. Our listeners want to hear this. No.
Like, just, like, the stats they always claim about for the Super Bowl, like, how much money it gives the town, and it's all bullshit. Like, there's no way it's really that high. And
right.
They claim, like, you know, how many people watch it, which is... also bullshit, you know, and...
How can you claim it's bullshit?
I do not believe that toilets overflow across America during half... That's always a big rumor, right? That during halftime... People are so transfixed on watching it that during halftime, we all go to the toilet, and we've all been eating so much that some cities' entire water systems fail.
Well, they don't... Clearly, they don't fail.
Yeah. Maybe Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
Flint, Michigan.
Did you guys talk about that last week?
No, we didn't. That's actually...
We'll get there.
It's a sad story, but very interesting topic.
Wait, let's bring that back up. Let's talk about that.
So, quick predictions. We aren't going to go into... We're not going to do an all Super Bowl cast. So those of you that were starting to think about turning us off, we're not going to go through an all Super Bowl podcast. But quick predictions. 2 weeks prior to... We've got the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos. Dion.
Panthers.
Do you want to back that up somehow?
So my thought is, I think Denver's got the best defense. I think the Panthers have an almost as good defense, but their offense is way better than Peyton Manning and his offense. So that's, I think, Cam Newton, Superman himself, will lead the charge and topple the Denver Broncos, and Peyton Manning won't go out on top like John Elway did.
Fair enough. John?
I'm going to go Broncos because Peyton Manning's on HGH. And they're going to prove it before in the next 2 weeks that he's had it.
Does the NFL take it? Is that banned substance in the NFL, HGH? I think in baseball it's not banned, HGH.
It is now.
It is now.
But they haven't always tested for it.
Okay.
And when he got caught with it, it wasn't being tested.
His wife got caught with it.
It's retro.
So they're investigating now. So I think that's going to be a big thing the next week or two because we'll see.
Clearly, Peyton Manning, you know, HGH has made him what he is today, which is kind of an over the hill.
Totally.
Throws a duck quarterback. So
yeah.
I don't think it's going to have any influence on the game, in my opinion. Sean.
I think Carolina is going to win convincingly. I feel they've looked a lot better against good competition than Denver has.
I will back you guys on the Panthers. I think the Panthers are definitely going to win. They've been the best team all year. They're going to continue to be the best team in the NFL. They're going to win the Super Bowl. But I'm going to pick the Broncos so that we have an even split.
Okay. Yeah. I think it should be a pretty good game. I think in the end, Carolina, in my opinion, will win by 14. But I think it'll be
easy.
A spread.
Nice. What?
Wow.
So you've even
it's too early to get a spread. But another topic about Super Bowls. Yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the 85 Super Bowl Bears.
Now we may be crossing over into the...
But really I thought there was a funny story.
Okay.
They were interviewing all the Bears, and Kevin Butler is probably the most level-headed, respectable guy out of this bunch because they're all a bunch of idiots. And he said, he was saying in the news last night, he said, if there was social media back in 85 when we were playing football and going through the Super Bowl process, we'd all still be in prison right now.
They really were. They were like a one-hit wonder rock band. Like
they were.
They partied, and they're like, it's never going to end. You know, and like, you know, like, just like, you know, just, I mean, like, it was ridiculous, you know, well, like destroying hotels. And
yeah.
Let's sing a song and come out with a rap.
They were all for a Grammy. They almost won the first ever Grammy.
They were definitely rock band-ish.
Yeah.
I think they were, you know, the typical, they were probably a dynasty in the making that because of all that ridiculousness and the lack of discipline, it never happened.
Yeah.
But they were set up to actually do really well for several years.
Oh,
and
definitely.
It just never played out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that I always loved Obama's line when Obama was running for the Senate. I think he was in the House, and Dicka was flirting with maybe becoming the Republican candidate against them. And, you know, Dicka's like, you know, I'm the only Republican that could win in Illinois. And Obama's like, I not only could I beat you in politics, I'll go up against your coaching record. He's like, that team should have won 3 Super Bowls and would have with any other coach.
Wow.
I was like, wow. Like, because usually you don't hear that.
I don't
like,
remember that.
Yeah. That's... You know, so this is years ago. I mean, this is when he was running for Senate. So I had just almost moved here. This was probably like 2004. Or something like that. And it's true.
Yeah, it totally is. They should have been a much better, longer lasting team than they turned out.
Sorry to make that too.
No,
that's funny. That
pretty funny story.
I think about that. Do you guys ever think about that? Just, I think about that again, like my own high school. You know, I was like, I see kids get ejected for doing, it's like, you know, they do underage drinking and maybe they do like a stupid dance or they, you know, they end up naked at a party and they're dancing or something and it gets on social media and they're expelled.
Yeah, they
have like kids have been doing that from eternity. It's like, yeah, you shouldn't do it, but...
But you
I don't
get
feel
caught so easily.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And they, you know, my kids have been through high school, my older kids, and they were in the arts programs, so they were constantly taught. They had to sign things, mm-hmm. and they were like coached consistently about you cannot be caught, you cannot be mm-hmm. seen. If you're in a situation, you must, you know, realize that you're going to get kicked out of all this stuff. So remove yourself.
Yeah.
If you see anything, remove yourself immediately.
Yeah.
And you still run the risk because you could be caught in a quick photo.
Sure.
With, you know, party scenario. So it's a real deal today.
Yeah. Yeah. It happened to my nephew in UCLA high school. He got busted for someone. He posted a picture, sent it to someone else, and that kid posted it to social media. So he got down the chain.
Yeah.
But, you know, as sports athletes, I don't know if you guys saw the story. This was this past summer. Jaromír Jágr, he's a veteran hockey player in the NHL. He's single. He's like 40-some years old. and he might have hooked up with a younger girl who also is dating another hockey player. Hmm. She's like 19, and so she, you know, took a picture of him laying in bed after whatever. He's, you know, naked, and she threatened to post it on social media, and he's like, I don't care. I'm single.
Good for him.
He's like, go ahead. Yeah. I mean,
you're the one who's in a relationship.
Exactly.
This actually could help me. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
You go ahead, dude.
I am 45 and I'm sleeping with 19-year-old girls. Go friends. Ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I grew up in war-torn Yugoslavia. Do you think I give a fuck about?
Yeah. Post it. Go ahead.
Pretty good. That actually that leads into the latest hockey stuff, right? So, Jágr was elected to, I don't know, somebody who, Dion, John, somebody who knows what's going on with the All-Star thing. They're doing something different this year in the NHL All-Star game where it's a 3-on-3 game.
Yes.
And, like, the fans were voting Jágr, who's this over-the-hill guy.
He's over-the-hill. He's
the captain. And the fans voted him in, and his tweets were hilarious because he was like, guys, that's really nice, but I'm going to die.
Yeah, 3-on-3.
3-on-3? I'm going to... You're killing me here.
I can't skate with kids that are half my age. I can sleep with them, but not skate with them.
Yeah.
Oh,
man. And in that process, wasn't there some lesser than player?
John, you can probably explain it better, but I was reading about this, and it was fascinating. They had the first ever fan vote player, or internet fan vote. I think they've had fan votes before, but they haven't opened it up to the internet. And what does the internet always decide to do when there's an election? Like, oh, well, let's just kind of screw with them. And they picked what they consider to be the worst player in the league. This journeyman who I guess is, they only bring him in when they need him to fight somebody.
Yeah, he's a goon.
He's a goon, yeah.
Yeah. And so they voted him in, and he won. He led the voting. And I guess the NHL, like, they at first, like, well, we're going to let the fans win, you know, whatever they say. But then they must have felt that they can't do this. So then I think he was with the Coyotes. They traded him last week before the All-Star game to a different division, to a team that is on record as saying, we don't want him. Like, their GM was like, I don't know why they kept packaging him in the deal, because they immediately cut him once they received him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, he's in their, like, minor league system or something.
No.
But,
his name's,
yeah, they're like, yeah, we John do not Scott, want this
right?
man.
John Scott. He's played with the Wild, the Blackhawks, the Rangers, the Sabres, the Sharks, and his current team, the Arizona Coyotes. He has scored 5 goals. That's it.
History, lifetime, 5 goals.
In history.
Yes. No, in 285 games he's played.
Yeah.
With all those teams.
Apparently he has been a healthy scratch, so he's effectively not been on, you know, suited up to go in all games this year except for 11.
Yeah.
So he was dressed for 11 games, and he was voted as a captain of the All-Star team.
So he was going to be a captain with Jaromír Jágr, Ovechkin, Patrick Kane, and then Scott.
I love it.
And he was like, and I don't blame him, you know, everyone's asking him, like, are you going to play? You know, it's weird because the press doesn't know how to approach him because it's clearly the internet being a joke.
Yep.
But then they're like, well, is this mean? You know, it's almost like those terrible stories you hear where they pick the ugly girl for homecoming. Like, ESPN keeps using that analogy. It's like the ugly girl has been picked for homecoming queen, which I've never heard happen in real life. But ESPN keeps using that analogy. And anyways, he was like, you know, I didn't have an opinion, but my kids think it would be cool if I went to the All-Star game. So, I'm going to go. You know, I mean, why not? Oh, and he also brought up an excellent point. He's like, and if we win, he's like, I have league minimum contract. I guess you get $500,000 if you win. If you're on the winning team, you get this bonus. Oh,
I don't think every player gets it, but
there's a $1 million purse for the winning team.
Winning team.
So they split that.
Yeah, okay. So that's what it was.
But I'm sure he has something.
Yeah, he was like, that's a considerable amount of money for me with my salary.
I'm sure his contract says if he makes the All-Star team, which they probably never thought he would, you get a bonus.
Yeah, so, I'm giving him that bonus. Some lawyer just
yeah,
runs.
Go ahead. Like, give it to him.
Why do I feel like this guy had somebody go on Reddit and start this whole thread where it was like, that let's get him in. Good. Let's get him in. He seems awesome. And it's really him, like yeah, some yeah. manager of him, mm-hmm. you know, well, his agent.
I did spend a little bit of time flipping around on the, you know, on some of the quotes out of this. And one of the Sabres from the Buffalo franchise, I think they're still Buffalo. This is how yeah. bad I am yeah. on this. But he says, if I'm the NHL, I'm definitely miking him up for the game.
He's going to be so labored, like just trying to keep up with the greatest athletes on ice.
Here, open, open.
And he can't do it. Like, his normal game is just beat the fuck out of you, which you can't do in an all-star game.
Right. You know, three start on three, attacking. Are you kidding yeah. me? You're skating the crap yeah. out of that.
It's going to be like at the end of a basketball game where they put the freshman kid in.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, okay, give the ball to Rudy, okay?
Rudy.
And all
Rudy.
The other players are like fake diving past him as they try to get the puck away. He's going to go down and score.
Oh, that'll be nice for you.
Oh, it's going to be great. Nice.
So that was a good sports segment yeah. or two for the podcast, but I just thought that was a hoot.
That was funny.
This guy got...
it is funny.
Drafted or whatever, picked by the fans. So... We'll see what happens. When is the All-Star game? When will we find out if this actually
weekend.
Happens? Is it this weekend?
Yes.
Wow.
31st, yeah.
Should be fun.
Right?
Should be fun.
Is it Sunday?
Saturday, Sunday. They have like the skills
oh,
and
the
all
skills
that. Yeah.
And then, yeah
all the Sunday. Fluff.
Yep.
So what's going on in the world of transformation these days? Anybody have anything fun to share?
I think the funnest story that we've got this week would be somebody's laptop broke and they had to open a ticket to get it fixed.
Wait a minute. You guys talked about this last week.
Did we?
No, I don't think we talked. Did we talk about... we talked about something else.
We talked about John's laptop. Is that what we're talking about?
I thought we
yeah,
talked
nothing,
about...
happened last week.
I think the best part of last week, no, was talking
no,
about our office
about
not being
sometimes
big enough.
Sometimes our meetings blend together. I think we talked about this in an actual meeting. I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, did we? We did talk about the thing about, oh, there's a ticket open last week. But
yeah.
They asked us how many people are in your office being affected
oh,
right now.
Oh, yeah, that we talked about, yeah.
So there was an outage for the internet in our office that we talked about where everything seemed to just flow, again, right to me for some reason, and that won't happen again. Yeah. But the other ticket that was open was for John's laptop. Needed some fixing, and he opened a ticket. And within 48 hours...
No, it actually got routed to India first, which
yeah.
we expect that.
Yeah, you guys talked about this last year.
We did. You're right. Yeah, well, you know what?
So,
this is...
Yeah, the update is it's there's actually something going
on. Yeah, well, my point is, yeah, we may have said we opened a ticket and it went nowhere, but... It's gone somewhere now.
It's gone somewhere.
Laptop's
yeah.
out of the building.
He's gonna have to nudge the system, like you know, the ticket's sitting there. He's gotta kind of nudge it by.
It's like writing a letter to Santa Claus. It takes a little while.
Yeah.
For a response to happen.
And then you go know? To like.
It's nothing
Santa's,
like writing yeah. a letter to Santa Claus. You write a letter to Santa Claus. You hand it to your mom, and
yeah.
your mom goes, "I will mail this
no,
for you."
No, it's like and you feel yeah. Mrs. Claus
that's
and going.
Direct. That is immediate.
Did yeah. Santa get this? Did Santa get my letter? Mrs. Claus, yeah. and, you know, where am I at? Where yeah. am I in the queue?
I always felt good about sending letters to Santa. I don't feel good about opening tickets. Yeah.
Well, one transformation thing that I thought was kind of funny is, you know, we're working with this partner, and we had to change one of the endpoints that they go to, and they're like, well, it'll take a week for us to adjust that and the firewall, which is amazing, and people just say that. You know, because there's no reason why that should take a week. You know,
well, like, they have strict windows on when they make change to their system, and you know, this is part of, I guess the way that would be sold is this is a mature system.
Yeah,
this is not a fly by night. We're going to make a change just on the drop of a hat. So.
I can respect we make changes, we have a schedule, everybody yep. has to fit certain windows, yep. we only make changes during off-peak hours, yada, yada, yada. I can appreciate that in that we don't just bounce servers at like 5 o'clock
no,
every night.
I agree with
firewalls.
That for inbound traffic. For outbound traffic, for saying, oh, we're not going to let you...
Right, but the counter argument to that is there's change happening to the system, and we don't want anything weird to sneak in. We're going to do it in a normal.
I don't know. It's just so funny that to me these companies act like, hey, we give you the best of both worlds. We're Fortune 50, and we're as agile as a .com. We're the world's biggest .com.
Oh, sure.
And then it takes a week to tell them to go to a different DNS entry. Like, you know, it's like you're not the best of both worlds.
Yes, from that perspective.
I think, yeah
don't
definitely
sell it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's what comes with that. They're going to make the change. The change will happen. They'll know the change was made, and it will work as it was supposed to exactly when they make it.
Yeah.
It took them a week to do that. Not like somebody's going to make a change, it broke a bunch of stuff, we'll revert it, we'll do it again in a couple days or a week, mm-hmm. and then we'll see if it works again. At least this change in the firewall will happen, and you know it will be done.
I just also can't... Like, if you only have a weekly window for making your changes, fine. Like, if changes can only happen on Thursday, I just don't see how the vetting process for that kind of change could possibly take that much time.
Yeah, and I don't think it was vetting. I think it was purely just...
This is our window. This is when we're allowed to change.
I think they have windows.
It's just going to happen.
I think they have windows at certain times on certain days.
Yeah, you know.
And I think there's a queue. IBM's so big, they have so many customers, so many changes. I think there's a huge queue.
Yeah, could be.
And to make, you know, the other part of your point there.
I just said the name. Damn it, he's got to edit it.
The other part of the point there is we are selling to our clients as well that we are, you know, these young, hot startups.
Yeah.
And you know, our organization
at 150, we're a young, hot startup?
Our organization is going and buying all of these young, hot startups because of what they offer and how they do what they do and the fact that we can sell that. And they're supposed to teach our organization how to be that agile, nimble, let's do things on the fly. But immediately, we're giving them restrictions and saying, no, this is how we work and why you have to use our tool set and our approach because it's more responsible. You guys can't grow bigger than you are because you're too small and fly by the seat of your pants.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's the same thing. It's like clients want to run around with the 19-year-old. They want to be Jaromir Jagr, right?
Yeah.
They want to run around with the 19-year-old and be cool. Yeah. And then they also will be the first ones to fire you when things go off the rails.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you balance this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not an easy game to play.
No,
So we should probably, I don't know, not sell it that way.
Yeah.
But that's what everybody's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody's doing. And the bureaucracy of change and change management that we're describing there, we have a friend who left the organization and is now looking at a government job. And this cracks me up because, what was it, a month and a half ago that this all came up, 2 months ago, that we were told, hey, you might get contacted because I'm going through this process. You're a reference.
4 or 5 months.
Was it that far ago?
Yes, yes.
You might get contacted because I'm looking for this job with the government. And literally, I forgot. I was like, they must have either passed on the guy or they talked to other people or I don't know what's going on. But all of a sudden, I got a phone call out of the blue today. And I know others. You got a call as well.
I got a call too.
Oh, man, I wonder if that's who was trying to... I don't think I was a reference or he would have told me.
I don't know.
Somebody's been calling my phone and I just haven't been answering today.
They would have left you a voicemail to let you know who
I don't
they
even
were.
Know what my voicemail code is, but...
So
he would have told me if I was a reference.
You have an iPhone. It just goes to your...
Oh, yeah, it would have been myself. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The funny thing about this to me is, you know... This is the government. This is like the nth degree of bureaucracy, right?
Yeah.
Here these guys are months and months later.
Yeah, that's
they're
hilarious.
Finally getting around to talking to us about this guy. And both of us had the same experience.
Yeah.
I got a phone call, picked it up, and this lovely woman said, "Hi, I'm calling about Kevin." Not his name.
Yeah.
It's like, wrong.
Kevin. And then followed it with his name, Calvin. I'm Kevin. Calvin. And this is what I want to talk about. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, fine. We'll figure this out. Not 10 minutes later, I'm walking by Dion, and he's like, I got a call from this person. I got to, you know, do this afternoon.
We got this voicemail, and she goes, yeah, I want to talk to you about Calvin. It's like, did she record a voicemail and just send it to, like, 50 people?
Yeah.
Because it's the exact same thing.
Same story.
She made
the mistake twice in
the call.
Same
mistake. She made the same mistake on two different voicemails.
It just comes across her government computer in, like, this,
maybe that's
what it is. Commodore blinking light, like, call.
I wonder if he's got. What if he's got an alias where he is Kevin in some sort of military capacity? She's not supposed to have mentioned that he was actually Kevin, and his given name's Calvin, or his like spy name is Kevin.
It's sort of like Maverick and Goose.
You know, we're not giving last name away because then you'd be able to.
That would be the worst call name ever.
Goose.
Maverick?
No, Kevin.
Kevin. Oh shit! Kevin's after us again.
Asking for permission to land. Call sign Kevin.
Call sign Kevin.
With a K.
Calvin, we know it's you.
Maverick, this is Goose. Talk to me. Kevin over there. I don't know what Kevin's doing, but Kevin. Wingman over there.
Oh,
Kevin.
So I set up a meeting with. I figured this woman
this
wanted
is the
to
best
talk
part.
To me.
Here we go.
Here in. The off, you know, she called me during the day. She knows I work. She's calling about a job reference, and she says, "When can we get together?" I go, "Well, you know, my day isn't really good today. Tomorrow afternoon, I've got some time." And she said, "Okay, well, where do you live?" And I went, "Well, I thought we were going to like meet in the office." And she said, "Well, where do you work?" And I said, downtown Chicago. And she said, oh, well, where do you live? I'm like, well, I live, you know, south suburb, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, well, you're right down the road from me where you live. So let's do that. Can we do it in an evening or something? So I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah.
So she told me where she lives and it's much easier for me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right, well.
You just going to meet her at a bar? Or
we can figure this
out. A coffee shop?
No, or? You see, this would have been smart.
Yeah.
This would have been brilliant.
Yeah. Wait for it.
I said, sure.
Yeah.
Here's my address. Come to my house. So she's going to come to my house. I'm going to work from home on Friday. and she's going to come to my house.
And so I talked to her this afternoon, and I said, same questions, same line of, we should do this in person. I don't want to ask you these things over the phone. So can we meet somewhere? Where do you work? Downtown Chicago. Where do you live? Southwest suburbs. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm meeting somebody, and she names a really far south city.
Yeah.
She's like, Kankakee. I'm like, okay. Well, I live, you know, north of there and all this other stuff. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's actually this city. And I'm like, oh. So You're meeting Steve at 3:30, are you? And she paused for the longest time.
Do you think they do that as like some sort of government? Do you think she's actually making her life easier? Or
you think she's playing us, like in that she knows the entire history, she knows our relationship, she knows where we live, what we do.
I wonder if like government protocol for vetting somebody for like something that's like secretive. Is you have to interview people in their homes to get like a better.
Well, no, hang on, wait for it, because I said, oh, so Steve, in your city, you know, there's a McDonald's 5 minutes from there. She says there's a McDonald's really close to there. Why don't I just meet you there?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I didn't offer my house. She offered a McDonald's, and I said that McDonald's is 5 minutes between Steve and me. I can definitely meet you there.
Cool. So I can call her back and say,
meet at the McDonald's.
I understand you're meeting at McDonald's. Let's meet there.
I would like to have a Big Mac with you.
You're just ordering the most childish food while you talk about
like, hi, can I get a Happy Meal?
Like, oh, yeah, I'd
like a four chicken nugget Happy Meal as you meet with the government.
It's just, it's.
Are you, wait, are you buying or am I? How does this work?
Are we going Dutch here? Yeah.
It's bizarre. So I'm somewhat tempted. The X-Files has come out again. I'm somewhat tempted to go down that path, right? So they're out there.
Yeah,
I know they're out there. Just if I didn't like Kevin.
Yeah. So that's interesting. They must outsource it to a local firm, right?
I have no idea.
They can meet you in person.
Just. I really got a Amanda Waller comic book reference when I talked to her. Though.
Who's Amanda Waller?
No idea who that is.
No idea. All right. So in the Suicide Squad movie that's coming up,
yeah,
there's a character. Her name is Amanda Waller. She works for the government. She is in like super covert. She's like, basically, we're going to put all these bad guys together, yeah, and make them fight a war for us. But okay, she is a top secret government level. I know Batman's secret identity. I know who the Joker is. I know everything level.
That's who this is.
And I got a vibe of. Like,
do you think the Kevin thing is all just part of the thing?
I think it's just...
God, I hope that McDonald's gets robbed while you're there. She just pulls out a gun and, like, you know, kills them all. So
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's not. But anyways, I just got a very... I'm making the same mistakes on purpose vibe.
Yeah.
Because nobody does that. 4 times in a row with 2 different people.
I know that was.
Yeah, really, that's what I wonder.
You know what I mean?
If it's just incompetence,
And she's like, oh, hang on, let me get my notes together, and you could hear, like I'm so busy and unprepared for you to call me back right now, but then knew exactly like, oh, so blank, 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 and so there was a hit or miss there. But anyways, hopefully the Amanda Waller reference doesn't go.
We'll have John get a ski mask and fake rob the McDonald's.
I can do that
while you're there.
I'm glad. Yeah. So
yeah, there's gonna be a scene out of Pulp Fiction.
Any of you motherfuckers,
we'll shoot, we'll execute every last fucking one of you.
You work for the government, save us.
She just like cartwheels through the aisle. She tackles this bitch and puts a gun to her head, and she's like, I don't know, wrong day, bitch. Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm coming off as the guy who's got nothing to hide, because I said, just come to my house. Sure, whatever.
Yeah, come to my house. Yeah.
She offered the McDonald's.
You open the door and you're in a robe.
Well, I think...
With my snifter.
Yeah, you got a cognac, you know, like, oh, well.
What do you want to know about Kevin?
Oh, my God. Now I'm picturing
jazz music playing in the background.
Oh my God! With Christopher Walken, remember he's on SNL with the snifter.
Oh,
and he's like,
yeah, that's a great character.
The Continental.
I haven't seen that in years. Yeah.
So I could do that. I could pull that off.
Yeah.
But I'm really tempted just to refer to him as Kevin the whole time.
You should.
Oh, man. I think I threw her for a loop. But I'm like, you're meeting Steve in this city at 3:30, aren't you? And she's just like, let's meet at the McDonald's.
Oh, God. Right.
Yeah. Oh, God. She's afraid of
the assets have communicated. The assets have communicated.
Jesus, shut his internet down now.
Yeah. Speaking of government, we did kind of casually talk about the presidential stuff, but I know I derailed John. He was interested in going somewhere.
We were just talking about how Trump... is not going to attend the next debate.
That's right.
And then he went to Twitter and, you know, asked his followers if he should attend to get survey.
They encouraged him?
No, they said no.
Oh.
I think, but the reporters are joking now that if Trump gets elected, that he's not going to have a cabinet. He's just going to refer all his questions and all of his
Twitter
followers.
I love this idea.
Oh my God.
Should we bomb Turkey?
Because
exactly,
as we know, the internet, you know, selected the best NHL.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Captains for the All-Star.
So he's going to have a cabinet of Twitter followers.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
That's how he should do it.
That would be quite fun.
Yeah.
The good news is Sarah Palin's behind him. And the interesting twist to all of this is that there's a new name that started to surface. Michael Bloomberg has thrown his hat out there. Well, not officially, but there's some talk of him getting into the race.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good thing. I think this potentially, this was the plan all along. Not necessarily Bloomberg.
Bloomberg for the Republican nomination.
But the Republican side of the ticket, Trump went out there to just make a mockery of it, make a mess of it, get his name as far out there as he can, because that's what he's all about, right?
Sure.
But he knew he maybe he's now delusional, but he knew it when he went in that this is just going to be publicity, and I'm going to make a mess of this, and then somebody can ride in on their white horse as a level-headed, clear candidate and be that guy.
Yeah.
And I think this is now a sign that maybe some of that's happening.
That Bloomberg would come in and Bloomberg would be the Republican nominee.
Well, they're saying he could be independent, too. I'm not sure if he's going to be Republican or independent.
I think he's technically independent in New York, isn't he? Like, I don't.
No, he was a Democrat, Republican, but then he switched anymore. Republican and ran for New York.
Yes. Oh, he is Republican? I thought he went independent, though. Yeah, maybe that.
All I know is, you know, everybody that I know in New York, and, you know, I will get phone calls or emails following this from the people in New York who may know that this exists podcast-wise. They're going to tell me I'm lying. But everybody that I've heard from has really missed him since he's no longer the mayor of New York. They said he was great and delivered for the city of New York. It seemed like things ran. It seemed like everything was good. The city seemed to be in as good a shape as it ever was with him.
I think he went through a lot of what our own mayor is going through, where I think Bloomberg left because of basically the problems that were going on with NYPD and Stop and Frisk. And I think that was able to galvanize the kind of more left-wing voting block.
He chose to leave.
I feel he chose to leave.
Because of all that?
Because of all that. I feel like it was like, you know, man, this is... I'm a billionaire and I can't...
Somebody looked that up.
Yeah.
Well, why did Bloomberg leave office?
It was exactly what Sean said.
Yeah. Like, I think it was like Stop and Frisk became huge.
Stop and Frisk.
It was our sort of, like, Chicago PD, the videos have come out of them killing some people. Yeah. And NYPD basically went through this 3 years ago with Stop and Frisk. And I think Bloomberg was like, you know, I'm not the guy, and Rahm Emanuel is not the guy who can really get past this. You know, I look too distant. I look too, and he's like, you know what? I've had a good run. I'm out. I feel that's what he felt. He didn't really necessarily come out and say it, but Stop and Frisk is what brought him down.
Gotcha.
And I feel that's what's probably going to bring Rahm Emanuel down too. Hmm. Although Emanuel's lucky that it's all coming in his first month of his reelection.
Right.
Whereas I think Bloomberg was on the opposite end. He was going to be going into reelection when this was happening, and he's like, fuck it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, for better or worse, I think he is a viable candidate that will give the conservative side of the United States government a choice.
Oh, yeah. I like Bloomberg, and I think our future candidates are going to look more like Trump and Bloomberg. I think we've entered the age of the celebrity candidate who can kind of make his own news or isn't beholden to donors. You know, that's what I love about Bloomberg. Bloomberg is like, I think he's very functional. Like, he's like, you know, I'm for gun control, but I'm also very Republican in these things. Right. And I do what I think will solve a problem. I don't give a fuck.
He's a businessman.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not a ridiculous, silly mockery of a businessman.
No, yeah, he's not like, let's deconstruct the government, get it out of all our ways. Yes. You know, like, you know. I would be happy to see him running for president myself.
Yep.
And I'm a pretty liberal dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he would be at least a level head that.
Yeah, totally.
More of the.
We don't have right now.
That's just like where we've come from, seeing what that side of conservatism would bring us, that this is where we're like, Bloomberg would be good. Like, I just feel like we've been through the Trump extreme, where Bloomberg is now great.
Yeah, but I think Bloomberg governed like a. You know what I mean? New York's a pretty liberal
city.
I think he governed very moderately. And I think, you know, the fact that you're depending on billionaires to save you is a little sad as a society. That campaign financing has become so screwed up that only billionaires can save you. But I think as a person and as a leader, I think he's a moral man.
Sure. Yeah.
Agreed. I think he's a moral man.
Yeah. That's nice.
But he is a bit of the anti-Bernie, you know? I mean, Bernie
Sanders. Totally. I mean, he created Bloomberg News. I mean, exactly. You know, I mean.
Jeez. Yeah.
That would be an interesting election, wouldn't it?
I think I could see somebody like Clooney doing Bernie, who's like has the celebrity, I can get the news, and I don't look like an 80-year-old crazy man.
but I'm going to run on a super left-wing platform. Like, I could see Clooney doing that in a couple years.
The
like,
actor.
I actually could. He gets very... He's gotten a lot very political in the last few years. He married a human rights lawyer, and I could see him doing something, but... Bernie Sanders isn't going to win. I mean,
and Jerry Lewis is 80 years old, vice president, and
Jerry Lewis the
and sorry, what's
the Back to the Future light? Yeah.
Ronald Reagan, the actor.
The actor.
Jerry Lewis is the vice president.
Nice.
Sorry.
Oh. We were, you know, John was bringing up Flint. We were talking about the government earlier.
Yeah.
One of the things that's that I read that was kind of interesting that a lot of people seem to have wrong about that. Like if somehow you're not listening in the U.S., we have a city that switched its water supply to try and save money as part of emergency governmental. They went to a very polluted river.
They went from water to not water.
Yeah, exactly. And now they all have lead poisoning. But this is what is interesting. A lot of people assume the river has lead. Have you read how the lead got there? That's actually not true, and I think it's scarier.
I thought the reason that it is, so they put, the water was bad. This is what I heard. The water was bad, and so they put something in the water to actually cleanse it and make it safe to consume. But that... like leached the lead out of the pipes as well, so that the water supply now was drinkable, but it had lead from the pipes.
The water that they created is so corrosive that it basically eats the lead out of pipes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that gets past quality assurance that you have almost an acid coming up your pipes that eats lead. And then they were drinking the lead because the water was so corrosive.
That can easily happen in a town like Flint, Michigan.
Oh, God.
So I mean, it's amazing.
What is the story on that? You know, the speculation is, would this ever have happened in... like Grosse Pointe, which is, you know, a very upscale...
Like white affluent area.
Yeah, a white affluent area. Flint is a depressed, non-white town. And so is it that it was easier to get this, you know, sort of to be done? Was it just gross incompetence?
Yeah.
How much did people know? How much didn't they know? You know, what you're just talking about with you know, Rahm Emanuel and Bloomberg, and what did they know? When did they know it? This is the same thing. Like, how much was exposed by by the powers that be? And then they went, well, tough. We have no money. That's what we did. Do it.
Yeah.
Just
I don't think
along.
It could.
I'll make bottled water. You guys go ahead.
I don't think it could happen in a white affluent town. I mean, like, they set up an emergency manager who took control of the town. I mean, that's what happened. And I don't think you could do that to a white affluent town in modern America, which is sad. But
it is sad.
The citizens wouldn't tolerate it, and the media would cover it more, and there'd be more political backlash, and it wouldn't happen. And I feel... You can only, I mean, they basically took democracy away from those people. You know, they set up emergency managers, and I don't feel you could do that in a town that you consider to be more TV friendly, for lack of a better word. I don't know what the right word is.
No.
I mean, it reduces to basically racism and classism.
So
but
the guy who discovered the poisoning brought it to the attention of the state. The state dismissed it. The emails have been released. The governor and everybody said, nope, we don't believe you, or whatever. However they dismissed it forever. So all that stuff came out. They've come back and basically said, we'll fix this. We'll do whatever it takes. All the emails are there. The federal government's giving us $5 million to get started. And the guy who originally found the lead is now running the project to fix and resolve the issue.
Oh, yeah.
So the governor's basically said, oh, yeah, whatever you guys, I will completely bend over and take it based on the fact that I was the guy who buried this to begin
with.
So that's where they're at right now. It's just that they've got $5 million from the government, whatever money they can dig up from the state, and the guy who found it gets to say when it's fixed.
Well, don't worry. I know this week Jimmy Fallon pledged $10,000 Then he dared 10 of his friends to also pledge $10,000. So he's going to build a pyramid scheme with all of the celebrities in
the funniest
LA, thing. And they're going to basically buy Flint.
So Seth Meyers does the late show, the show after the Tonight Show, after Jimmy Fallon, and he did this whole thing about Jeb Bush spending $40 million on his run for presidency and how people on his staff basically said he should have just burned $40 million. Yeah. It would have been spent better.
Yeah.
And he basically made the joke of, yeah, well, basically you could have done how many other great things which would have showed you as a 10 times better a presidential candidate, like how about you put $40 million towards the Flint water project,
yeah, yeah,
as opposed to running for president.
This goes back to the and they showed trying to save the panda,
exactly. But they showed that Jeb Bush's campaign people told him to create these video snail mail like cards. So they're sending people basically like an iPad in the mail and says, and then when they open it, it plays like a video. Like, how much money could that have... He spent so much money on sending campaign...
Who's doing this?
Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush is doing that.
Sent iPads in the mail that played a video as soon as you opened it and said, you know, vote for me, and it played like a 3-minute video.
No, we would never want any of that money to go to something.
So, but I mean, like, it was like Michigan. And people on his staff was like, you would have been better off just burning your money.
That's funny.
And like at least people could come for warmth. Anyways, it was a funny skit, and it came back to
the water. Funny. Bloomberg, or they said today he has $1 billion set aside for a campaign.
Wow.
Just
jeez.
Yeah. And they say he's the type of person that if he believes he can win, he's going to go for it. So he's...
Yes.
He's serious about it.
Yes. And I think...
That's rough.
The state of all of the primary, you know, discussion right now has him asking those questions.
Right.
Because there's certainly a gap on both sides now, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And they said he can wait until after Iowa, New Hampshire, and see what happens. Sure. He doesn't have to get in right now. He's going to see what these clowns do to each other and then join.
That also is not such a bad idea. A shrewd move.
Sit on the sidelines, rest up.
Sorry?
I was going to say, I don't like that Rupert Murdoch just endorsed him today. Anyways.
Endorsed Bloomberg?
Yeah.
Well, Murdoch, it feels like Dr. Frankenstein in creating a monster with Trump. So yes. I think he's looking to absolve himself, you know. He wants anyone but Trump, basically.
That's kind of... weird that Murdoch has that kind of level of scruples, you know? That
yeah. Well, I think he just doesn't want Trump out of, like, pure sort of, like, he's going to knock the Republican Party back 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or worse. Anyways, enough politics.
Yep.
Did you see Sony spun off?
Wait, what's this?
Sony spun off one of their... business units. Basically, Sony's been in the tank. I don't know if you've read anything about this, but they've had real trouble. And so to solve that, apparently what they've done is they've said all of the crap that isn't working, that's going to be Sony. And then we're going to spin off PlayStation and the entertainment side of the business, and that's going to be the positive. You guys be your own thing. We're not going to drag you down with this anchor over here called the rest of Sony. So they did. They spun off PlayStation.
Oh, yeah?
There's a new company, a part of... this is for people in the, you know, gaming and, the video game console world. This is kind of a big deal. They Microsoft talked about doing this with... Xbox and
this, that the Sony world. Interactive is its own branch as opposed to like the movies and the, the like basically old media versus new media, like new.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's what, yeah.
I think it's a big deal. And the Sony, for video gamers out there, apparently one of the big deals for the PlayStation is they don't allow you to change your username. Basically what your call sign is on the PlayStation Network. And so as soon as they announced this, like all of their gamers like started to the Twitter sphere going, oh, sure, we can't change our name, but you can change yours anytime you want.
And you only get like one free gamer tag change a year with Xbox.
Yeah, but at least there's a model for it. PlayStation, you just can't do it.
No.
So, you know, the 12-year-old who started on the PlayStation Network years ago and now is still doing,
Pizza
you
Face
know...
69 now wants to be something
Bunny
else.
Hop 60, whatever it is. That guy is going, seriously? I'm stuck with this? Pikachu 1? Although those guys might still be into it, so...
Perf Xbox forever.
You know, you can change that.
I know, once a year.
And we encourage it.
I may go Z-Force, we'll see.
We'll see. So I thought that was just an interesting little side note in the technical world. But in the advertising space, because it might be of interest to people, did you read that WPP actually spent $4 billion with Google?
What?
No.
I didn't hear that.
What would they do?
WPP literally spent $4 billion of client money.
Biggest media partner.
With Google last year.
Really?
Four.
Is that all the...
Oh, just all the projects combined.
All the agencies.
Just $4 billion.
Yeah. Combined.
Okay, I thought it was a single purchase. Like,
wow.
No, no, no. They built effectively. What it does is it shows just how big, you know, the Google
advertising and everything
world
is
at this stage.
Yeah,
you got the largest advertising agency network out there spending that number. With Google.
$4 billion with Google, $1 billion with Facebook, $400 million with Yahoo, $100 million with AOL, $150 million to $225 million, depending on whatever you call Twitter. And then Snapchat was just smaller.
Small.
What about Bing?
They didn't Bing shit.
Bing wasn't mentioned.
Only fucking Microsoft Bing shit. You want to Bing it? Go ahead. I'm spending money on that.
I just thought, holy crap.
That's a lot of money.
$4 billion, yeah.
$4
billion. Not a bad number. Well?
No.
WPP. Big
WPP.
Company.
Yeah.
Another technology note.
That's the one we can
The story about the lost my iPhone.
Oh, that is a funny story. Yeah.
Who brought that up this week?
That was Dion who brought that story
up. I found it, and I thought it was funny, but essentially there's a house in Atlanta that sits in a really weird place geographically, in the fact that between cell towers, this house seems to be the focal point for anybody who's ever lost their iPhone in Atlanta within a certain range of this house. This house is like the Bermuda Triangle of Find My iPhone. So somebody says, I lost my iPhone. They activate the thing. And they had some glitch where everybody's iPhones seemed to be lost at the same location, which seemed to be this house. And it basically came down to cell tower, GPS.
I leave my phone in a cab.
Yeah.
And I get home. And
you live in Atlanta, near
computer,
this house.
I get home and I go, oh, what happened to my phone? Holy crap. I have to be in Atlanta. This isn't like somebody in Seattle could do this.
This was an Atlanta GPS tower thing.
Okay.
So only in Atlanta right here.
I'm just trying to figure out what's really going on. So I get home and I go, I lost my phone, but it's okay because I had Find My Phone turned on. I go to my laptop. I go to the website. I say, show me where my phone is.
Yep.
And it points to this address.
Yep.
And then what do? I call the police and I say, somebody stole my phone and it's there.
Or you just go there and then think,
okay.
You don't know where you don't know where there is. It's just a dot on the map. And you're like, I don't remember being there, but it looked like somebody took it and left it there. I'm going to go there and get it.
Uh-huh.
And hundreds to thousands of people showed up the exact same little tiny house looking for their phone.
Not at the same time.
Over a period of time. And I don't know what the... Okay.
It's not like there was a line out the door going,
like,
wait,
the
they don't have yours?
Year,
I bet they have mine.
For the past year, an Atlanta couple has fielded many visits from angry strangers and sometimes police who insist that their phones were inside the couple's house. And basically, it escalated to the point where they're like, listen, every hour over the weekend for like weeks, everybody was coming and knocking on their door saying, you have my phone.
That's this is awesome. Like a homeowner's curse, like the people that own the house from Breaking Bad. They get pieces thrown on their roof all the time.
It's like a modern version of being haunted.
Yeah.
I to me it's just so funny because it's interesting how like these companies are so huge now and they have so much power, but they have no actual employees, and they can just destroy your life with a triangulation error, and there's nobody to talk to.
So this is a bug?
They
so
said it's a triangulation error. And that's all they'll say about it.
So Apple basically said, our software is working correctly. It's based off of the GPS Wi-Fi map data that we get.
It's so not us. It's them.
Yeah.
It's a bad
Apple
routing table.
It's not us.
Whoever them is.
And it's whoever's providing your GPS Wi-Fi, you know, GPS triangulation, whatever carrier you had.
Oh, my God,
had.
This poor couple.
This poor couple had to deal with it for a year. And only now are we actually hearing about it. I don't know who they talked to finally, where they may have gone on TV and basically said, or done a report. So I don't know where this how this bubbled up, but they must have gone to somebody and finally said, listen, Atlanta,
your phone is not here.
We promise you, we don't give a shit about anybody's phone.
Go talk to an Apple genius.
We're fucking Android here. We don't give a shit.
Can you imagine, like, the angry father? So he gives his daughter phone.
Yeah.
And she, like, hates her family and runs away, right? And he immediately goes, wait, it's okay. I can figure out where she is.
Yeah. She's 2 hours late. She's not home. Her curfew. I'm turning GPS on. What the fuck is she doing at that house? Yeah.
That's right. Shows up there and, like, drags
knock, 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 knock.
Yeah.
Beats the crap out of her.
What are you doing with my daughter? Well, I guarantee in Atlanta there's shotguns involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's an excuse that wouldn't really hold the mustard to somebody who thinks you've really stolen their phone, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where's my phone? Well, nope, sorry. This is a triangulation error in GPS and...
sure it is.
Yeah,
sure
exactly. You're like, no, where's my phone? Come on. I guess you just learn to not answer that. I don't know what they do if they just quit answering the door or if they explain it. Like, what a terrible thing to have to deal with.
Literally move.
Yeah.
There's
you would just move.
Can do.
If that would be one of those things where you'd
like
be
the
like,
smallest house I've ever
why is this house so cheap? You know, they sell the house and you just, you know, that first day you move in, somebody's like, hey, you have my phone? I go, oh, that was weird, you know?
Yeah, we got a great deal in this house.
You know, like, yeah.
Man.
Oh, my God. They can't sell their house.
It would never show up in, like, a homeowner's inspection or anything like that.
I wonder if they could, like... Not they can't sue, right? They have nobody to sue.
Well, if they find out whose error it is, they could maybe sue.
They maybe could, but...
I don't know, because it seems to be a flaw in software between multiple... I don't know. It depends on which article you read, but essentially what it comes down to is the mapping of GPS triangulation is where it comes down to. So it's a software issue depending on what carrier you have, and I don't know. It just seems like... They wouldn't be able to pinpoint it to like Sprint or AT&T.
I bet they can find a lawyer that will.
They can find a lawyer that would take that case and be like, you know what? I'm just going to sue them all. And half of them will settle. You know,
somebody will figure it out one way or another.
Will get $50,000 or $100,000 out of somebody.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you cut your losses and you move.
Yeah.
Well, they could be on the Today Show.
Probably.
Yeah, but that 15 minutes doesn't mean much. I want cash. That's me. Yeah. I want cash. Buy me out.
They could start selling like cell phone cases and new cell phone because they know everyone's lost their phones. They could set up like a little kiosk,
like an accessory. Like,
no, it's a triangulation error.
We see you lost your phone. Do you need a new one?
Yeah.
Apple sets up a new store right there. An Apple store right there.
Apple store buys the house.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
Totally perfect.
Happy ending. They live below in the basement.
Man, this house can't be worth $150,000.
It's
so small.
Yeah, it's a pretty modest house.
Pretty small.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's cute, but it's small.
It is cute.
Yeah, it's a little,
I'd live there, but I hate that. That's terrible.
I wish they would give us, like, the longitude and latitude, because it's mentioned a couple times, or at least the address of the house. Because then you could, like, Google map it and see, like...
Well, I just pulled up an article. I thought they had a map. Yeah, they have a map here. I don't know if that's the map. No, it can't be. There's water all around it.
That's Australia,
Steve.
Like
San Francisco or something.
That's another like continent.
I just assume, you know. Hey,
GPS is really fucked up.
I literally just pulled it up, okay?
Your phone's on Bondi Beach.
That could be. All right, so I suck.
What else do we got?
At that.
Got some a couple of funny vendor scums this week.
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah, they're not too good yet.
We need like theme music for each of our different scum.
Steve sent me a funny email this week, and he wasn't sure if it classified as vendor scum, but I thought it did. It started out, Steven, referencing my previous emails, I want to create a relationship with you. And that's the first line.
That's pretty good.
So I
want to create a relationship with you.
So I love it. Yeah.
That sounds like you don't speak English. It's the first language.
They don't.
Exactly. Know? I got a text from him like just after this, and I didn't realize because I sent it off. I was like, I don't know. This might work. Threw it at him. And then this text comes up. Yeah. It's like, are you creating relationships? I'd totally forgotten what are you talking about?
He almost sounds like a man who just moved to America on Tinder or something like that. You know, like, are we creating a relationship here?
Well, he didn't say in there anywhere like swipe right or anything.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it didn't. So
that is hilarious.
Yes, and then another funny ironic email that came from Eric today.
Oh, this was good.
Was an actual email from Oracle Corporation.
Oh, yes.
And the subject was, stop complex IBM application integration from slowing your business down.
Thank God nobody's doing that around here.
Yes. Is the complexity of IBM application integration keeping your business from moving faster? Is it? I'm not sure if it's the...
Well, you know, that's a beautiful strategy because this is the thing. Nobody's happy with enterprise integrations. So what you could do if you're IBM or Oracle, you can just blanket email. If I'm Oracle, I'm going to stop IBM. And if I'm IBM, I'm going to stop Oracle. And you're like, hey, it's like flipping a coin. And if somebody, you know, if they're dealing with an Oracle install, they're going to want to talk to us, IBM. Yeah. And if they're dealing with an IBM install, they're going to want to talk to us, Oracle.
Yeah.
Because they're going to hate whoever they're talking to.
Right. You know?
The problem is the people that are actually dealing with those level of issues aren't the people that chose the vendor.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we have nothing to do with that, you know.
The selection of the vendor came down to us. So here we go.
Yeah.
We, you know, so how do you make that more viable, more valuable to the person that actually makes those decisions? So, Dion, I can't find it. Where did you share? Dion found the positioning of these two companies and threw that back out. I can't remember where we were.
Which company?
Which communication. It was the whole Eric's email about, you know, Oracle saying, hey, you having trouble with your IBM implementation?
Oh, yeah.
And you had the positionings of each one of those companies, and it was like, well, do you want to be, you know, future thinking and leading?
Oh, yes, or do you want to be
that or the other? I thought those were great positions.
The words they use,
each one of those.
Yeah.
I couldn't find where it was that you sent that, so I thought it was good. And now we'll just wait while Dion's looking that up. So while he's doing that...
So basically, Oracle said they could integrate, accelerate, and lead, but and that would outdo IBM. You should change from IBM because we can integrate,
lead,
accelerate, and lead. But the way we've been sold IBM is that they can create, deploy, and manage. So
it's very nuts and boltsy.
You need to choose. Do you want it?
I think Oracle's marketing department is doing a much better job.
You want to accelerate and lead as opposed to just deploy and manage?
And it's like stay the course, just cruise. Yeah. Do you want to go on cruise control for a little while? We'll do that for you.
IBM's going to do that for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to like lead and create and, well, that's an IBM word, innovate and move forward, be the guy on campus. You want Oracle behind you. You want to just sort of block and tackle and get things done.
Block and tackle.
If you want to go 55 miles an hour.
Are you a CEO, then you want to integrate, accelerate, and lead. Are you essentially a grunt?
Literally everybody has gotten up to walk out of this room now, except me.
I think it's because we record this podcast after lunch where everyone's had some beers.
We're a few deep here.
Yeah.
And some of us need to use the loo.
Pretty pathetic.
But we're back talking about integrating, accelerating, and leading.
I think we're wrapping up.
Creating, deploying, and managing.
I think, you know, now that John's walked away, I think it's time that we wrap this up.
Sorry.
You guys can leave, and I don't really care. But if John's gone, then I want to wrap it up.
I mean, he's got his train notice here. He's late. It's okay.
I do sometimes feel like we're driving a Buick with IBM.
A Buick.
A Buick.
What do you mean by that? Like just big car that doesn't turn easily, or
it's just
it's not my father's Oldsmobile. What are you talking about?
It just does the job.
You're not
driving a Ferrari.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
Not cutting edge.
You're not in a Tesla. You're in a Buick.
Sure.
It's like
getting where you need to go.
It's like I always did with my dad. When we went to the car show. We went to the Buicks. We kicked the tires. We opened the door, slammed them. Talk to the guys in the cardigan sweaters.
Solid, John. Didn't that sound solid?
Sounds solid. I mean, the tires are solid. That's what we want.
There's no cardigans at the auto show ever anymore. It's
the Oldsmobiles used to have them.
Black, tight, short skirts.
Oh, okay.
That's all women now.
I'm 50-year-old dudes.
So what a worldwide IT guys.
I've heard in Detroit that the auto show is like an adult prom. And that
they do
have you ever heard this like men wear tuxedos?
We had the first night here
it's
in
Friday
Chicago.
Night.
Yeah, Friday night in Chicago.
Friday night before
really?
The auto show
I never
starts.
Knew this
is a true story. It happens before Detroit and Chicago that I know of. It may happen in every city.
Yeah,
Dion's been to it every year.
Yeah,
the Friday night before the show opens is like tux night.
Like a black tie event.
It's a black tie event. And
invite only.
You are. In the industry, it's a special, you get first dibs at looking and checking out and sitting in and popping the hood, even though we don't pop the hood for common idiots.
Yeah.
You get to do whatever you want at the auto show that night.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They pour champagne, and it's a super fancy event.
The 50-year-old dudes in short skirts, they'll lift them.
Yeah.
You get to see under the
hood.
You've
been to this one.
You get to under...
You've been to the black tie
under
one?
The hood. I've not been to the black tie.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yes, he has.
But the black, that's what the black tie event is.
Yeah.
It's very limited, and that's what it is.
My sister goes every year.
Oh, yeah.
Because her husband's in the wine industry, and they supply all the wine for the event.
So.
Interesting.
That's the black tie. But it is like a prom in that everybody's dressed up. Everybody's in it. It's like a red carpet.
Yeah, I've heard it's all couples. And, like, you don't just. It's not like an auto show where you might go alone to view it. It's like a social experience.
It's an event, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Huh.
I've never been.
Interesting.
Hey, did you guys hear? I do want to wrap up, but did you guys hear? Apparently, the Hyperloop is a go.
What do you mean by a go? Like the test?
They are
facility?
Building the Hyperloop.
An actual, it's going to carry consumers two cities?
Yes. Yeah.
San Fran and L.A.? Or?
No, I think they're doing L.A. to Vegas first.
Oh, really? That'd be cool.
I was shocked when I heard this, that they're really doing it. Somebody's anteed up the funds.
I've heard before, and I don't know if it's true or not, that Vegas has always said, like, we will pay for whatever high-speed rail, whatever we need to get into the L.A. market, because, like, you could get L.A. consumers there in, like, a half hour.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be insane.
Speeds,
yeah.
And, you know, so it's like the...
It would be huge.
It'll pay for itself in,
you
know, 2 years or whatever it is. But, yeah. So my guess is the casinos are probably part of
anteing
the
up
investment
for it.
Group for it. Yeah,
I think it's brilliant.
That'd
see,
be great.
You know, I want to see this actually be pulled off and deliver. I also am a little concerned about the first accident, but
because you're traveling at like almost the speed of sound or whatever.
Well, how fast is it? I don't know anything about this.
I think it's
700
like,
miles an hour.
Yeah, it's almost the speed of sound.
What's the fastest train over in like China?
They're like 300 miles.
Oh,
300 miles an hour. It's like over twice the speed of what people are
doing. Well, the thing is, I mean, people are scared of these high speed trains over in China, but they rarely have any accidents. I mean, there's if you compare like our trains compared to the high speed over in Europe and China and Asia,
They never have accidents.
Right. I will say our high-speed trains, though, are kind of built on a technology that's been around for 200 years.
Well, we don't have high-speed. We don't high-speed.
I mean, like, they sort of took train safety. Like, Hyperloop is almost like a beta technology.
Yeah.
So there's probably going to be an accident.
Uh-huh.
You know, probably. I mean, if you just look at the history of technology, usually...
The question is, what is that? Is that an accident of, you know, most likely... Everybody, you know, let's hope. But most likely the accident is it failed and some people were in it for like 24 hours while they tried to figure out how to get people out of it, right? That is what I figure will be like the worst case scenario. Yeah. If it's bad, and there's an accident.
Yeah.
No, 700 miles an hour.
Like the brakes don't stop when it hits Vegas at 700 miles an hour.
People moving at that, no, it's not going to... That's not pretty.
They'll be able to test that, though, numerous times before they run it with weights that are compatible. I mean, it'll run hundreds of tests.
Yeah, it's tough to guarantee. Yeah, we'll run so many variables.
We'll put animals and monkeys on there. It's fine.
At some point, you are saying
monkeys.
We've tested it enough. It's time to go live. We've tested it enough. Oh, now I'm binging all over the place.
Why are you binging?
Binging.
Ugh. Not that kind of bing. So I don't know why I brought that
up. That's cool, though. I didn't know that.
I read about
That's
it
cool.
and went, holy crap.
Well, it's about time we do something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, our train systems are so...
Oh, terrible.
Outdated.
You have to sit there. I don't know if any of you have ever taken
Amtrak
cross country. It's like you're always sitting there just waiting for a freight train to cross or something like that. It's so slow.
Wow, the Hyperloop goes 0 to 540 in 2 seconds.
What? I feel like that would just throw you against your seat.
But because you're basically in a vacuum, that you don't have the same, you don't feel the forces like you'd feel them in a car or a train. You're in a vacuum tube.
I like that it's like kind of the same technology. When I was growing up, I don't feel you see
the
it
pneumatic
anymore.
Pneumatic tubes.
Yeah, when I was growing up, when my mom would go to the bank, she would put she would put a check in, like it'd be like, and then it would just go
still
up.
Happens.
Yeah, I almost never see them nowadays. But I was like, oh man, this is like what I thought the future was supposed to look like, you know?
Exactly, and this is what I want the Hyperloop to be. I totally want that. I want you to sit in a pod and effectively go, okay, so we're gonna get in this thing and some like. Big hand, and it's got to like look like a big hand is going to pick it up and drop it in the tube. And as you get dropped in the tube, you just whisked away.
Yeah.
I would totally love that.
That would be cool.
And they're gone.
They're gone.
That's what it would look like.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
Yep. And they're the slot machines.
Gone. Bye bye.
Yep.
Well, we should wrap up. Thank you all. You good?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Yeah, that was good.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you all for listening. We are the Worldwide IT Guys, and we will catch you again next week. WWITGuys.com. Bye.
Number 20 out the door.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
800 miles an hour.
800 miles an hour. Isn't the speed of sound like 860, I think?
Dion's on that.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, I guarantee if there's a sonic... boom in this little tube, it'll probably shatter it.
Although I guess sound, well, you wouldn't have sound in a vacuum, right? Yeah, you can't have sound in a vacuum. If it could exist, it would move faster.
Oh, that's brilliant. You can't even talk to each other.
Wow. So I'm going to have some annoying guy on my plane talking to me. That's great.
Wouldn't it be amazing if, like, everything is... You're in a vacuum. Everything is moving at that speed.